from Grand Rapids to Flint to Mackinac City, this is the Michigan Talk Network.
All right, welcome back to it on a Wednesday. Good to have you here. Like I said, sexiest job is going to be sexiest jobs. That's coming up shortly here on the program. We're going to deviate a little bit from the hard news of the day to talk about the pastime, America's pastime, baseball, and the presidency. And a new book, The Presidents and the Pastime, written by Kurt Smith, a former speechwriter for President George H.W. Bush. Kurt, welcome to the program.
Well, Steve, thank you very much. Great to be with you.
You know, I'm going to take issue with one of the things I see here on your sheet, you know, and defend the great state of Michigan and our only president, because it says here on your list that George H.W. Bush was the overall best athlete of all the presidents. I think Gerald Ford would have exception with that.
Well, I would probably compartmentalize into two and say that in terms of athlete, you certainly would have a point regarding the two-time All-American 1934 and 1935 from the University of Michigan. No one can quibble, nor would I.
Well done.
Right. In terms of baseball, however, Bush was a superlative player.
Fair enough.
And in fact, was the captain of his baseball team at Yale, which made the first two college All-American tournaments in 1947 and 48. In fact, a major league scout told me that had there been the position of designated fielder at the time, that George H.W. Bush would have made the major leagues. He was a spectacular fielder. Unfortunately, he had the character flaw that I suffered, and that tens of millions of Americans endured as well. He couldn't hit a lick, and
yeah,
therefore never seriously considered the major leagues as a career occupation.
So he couldn't hit a major league fastball or a major league any ball, is what you're saying.
He couldn't hit any. You know, the old adage, you can't buy first base. Well, he and I and millions of others couldn't rent first base.
Yeah, couldn't buy it, couldn't rent it. You just weren't going to be there. I got you. So what brought you to write this book, Kurt? You spent time on Capitol Hill. You were a speechwriter for George H.W. Bush, who is, you know, and let's be honest, the longest living president now, as he is well past Ronald Reagan. And prior to this generation, though, Herbert Hoover lived to be into his 90s, but these presidents seem to be living longer, healthier lives, as many people are. How did you get obsessed with all of this?
And Gerald Ford, incidentally, lived past 90 as well, so you're quite correct.
Correct.
Well, I ever since I was little, Steve, have been enamored of the presidency in baseball. And I think I've got a lot of company in that. Tens of millions of people, I think, have particularly in the second third of the century, I think growing up in middle America particularly, would go out and do as I did and read the World Book Encyclopedia that their parents had supplied for them. And
that's what I did.
Yeah,
that's how I spent my life.
Did you do that?
Oh, my God, yeah. The World Book Encyclopedia. I just did that. That's where I read about the presidents. That's where I lived my fascination. I read about all the presidents and all the different things, and I actually, strangely enough, Kurt, this is how messed up I have been recently online trying to find used volumes of World Book, because I want to read what the World Book said in 1970 or 1976 about the world, about different countries, about politics. I want to see how it was written then, because I know it's different than what we're told today.
Well, there you go, and I'm sure it is, and I'm sure it was far more straightforward and honest.
Bingo.
In terms of what it said than what is being said today. There's no question about that.
Let me ask you this. I want to ask you this, because, and you're exactly right, and I think World Book was a fabulous resource for me growing up. But you said Donald Trump here, one of the notes, scouted by the Phillies and Red Sox, and you said he should throw out the first pitch at the All-Star game. That didn't happen, obviously.
Right.
But when you say scouted, what does that mean?
Well, it means that the scouts of both teams came to the New York Military Academy, where Trout was a very fine ball player. I mean, he had no speed, but he was very strong. He hit from the right side of the plate. He was a dead pole hitter. He could hit the ball a mile. Both teams sent scouts, and they made the offers to him. This was in the age prior to the Major League Draft, and it was the age of the bonus baby. and they didn't make stratospheric offers to him, but they made substantial offers, and they wanted him to come join the club. He might have had to play in minor league baseball, but they were not good ball clubs. The Phillies nor had to say my team, the Red Sox, and he may well, very well, in fact, have played for the big team in a very short span of time.
Well, I'm not even sure if you realize this, Kurt. I don't know if you nobody even likes the Red Sox.
Oh, come on.
Nobody even likes them. They can't stand them. I mean, the Red Sox are nobody
they
likes
them.
They
have a national following. They're not called America's team in many quarters for nothing.
I can tell you, in the shadow of Tiger Stadium, they're not.
No, let me set, because we believe in non-fake news. The Boston Red Sox, whenever they play on ESPN television, invariably gain the highest Nielsen ratings of any team, in large part because of the telegenic nature of Fenway Park.
Well, people just believe the team. People are just
when they play
Tiger
Stadium. It's intimate television watching.
Yeah, people tune in to see the Red Sox because they're amazed that a team of that little bit of talent are able to play on TV at all. That's the incredible thing about the Red Sox. They're just like they're amazed, you know, because as Tiger fans know, it's not possible anyhow.
Well, they're both wonderfully quaint and old style and more than century old franchise, and I happen to love them both.
Well, there you go, and I agree with that. Baseball's just kind of a fun thing. You know, it might be the last thing, and I'm not even sure if this is true. It might be the last thing that's not politicized in Washington.
So. You know, I hate the politicized nature of America today, and I happen to love politics, but it's been so, how will I put it? It's been so tainted.
Yeah.
And so stigmatized beyond perhaps the point of redemption that at least this political junkie finds it extraordinarily squalid.
Yeah,
say that with great sadness.
That's a good word. I'm going to give you 25 cents for squalid because I think that's a good description and accurate. So where do we the nice to see the Nationals hometown kid wins the home run derby. That was kind of fun. I sat there and watched that in Chicago a couple of days ago, and the Nationals pleased with that, obviously. And his dad came out. I'm like, who's the guy that's got stumps for arms? I mean, this guy has arms as big as telephone poles. Apparently, it turns out to be the guy's dad, right?
Yeah, right. Well, you know, it runs in the family. It's in the DNA.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper is a tremendous talent. Yeah, however, he has chosen in his free agent year to have a 215 batting average, which is not exactly, I wouldn't think, going to help his leverage as he goes to sell his wares. I, for one, I'm not necessarily a Nationals fan, although I spent all those years in D.C. I hope he stays with the Nationals because I was talking. I'm here in Washington as we speak because I'm down here for the All-Star game. And yesterday, I gave a speech at the White House Historical Association. And I met one of the granddaughters of number 6, Al Kaline.
No kidding.
Yeah, I did. And we got to talking, and I had mentioned Al in the speech because I was running through the presidents, and I was saying what the pastime meant to each of the presidents. And I was talking about Richard Nixon and how what a scholar and a savant of the game he was. Nixon had been offered the commissionership of the game in 1965 before he ran successfully for the presidency. And then I got to Jerry Ford, and I said, Gerald Ford, pastime meant the Detroit Tigers.
Absolutely.
22
did.
Years, yeah. You know, whether he was president or not, he trooped to the corner, as Ernie Harwell called the
old. Oh, it was a beautiful place. Kurt Smith, I got to leave it there. The corner, Michigan and Trumbull, it's legendary. The Presidents and the Pastime is the book, The Presidents and the Pastime. Kurt Smith, thank you for being here.
My pleasure, indeed. Thank you so much.